recognizing that we've been kind of a poor fundamental team in the big leagues for a long time has forced us to do is look at the way that we're doing things in the minor leagues too, and question whether or not we're preparing guys to be successful at the major league level. And if you look at our performance in base running and on defense in the minor leagues at each of our affiliates, that's been struggling too. And so we've changed a lot of the way that we're training and teaching and the feedback that we're providing this year. And I think that we've seen some progress, but it's going to take some time.
That is Red Sox President of Baseball Operations. Is that his title?
Chief Baseball Officer.
Baseball Officer. I hate these.
Only one CBO. Of the big leagues to
what
have that title.
What the hell is a CBO? Just be
Can
the...
we just go back to the GM days?
Thank
Two letters.
You.
Simple role, GM. You knew the GM ran the team, and then we had to get in. The Red Sox have like seven GMs, right? Below Breslow.
Yes.
Like,
who is currently the general manager of the Boston Red Sox, Andy?
Brian O'Halloran.
Correct. How about that emergency?
Wow. Wow. Nice.
Where was that in Stiz with quiz?
Wow. Yeah, I might have won. If it hadn't been a bag job for Ted Johnson with him getting all the movies that he likes and has
Chief
seen.
Chief Baseball Officer, get it right, Dweeb.
Oh, we didn't
wow, you just got name shamed by Breslow Bot? Wow.
Wow. So the Boston That's Globe. Rough. Had a story from Alex Speer, one of these long features that they are wont to do. June 26th, it is dated. And
I feel like Speer speaks Breslow, just a side note.
Oh, definitely. Speer definitely is a modern, and this is not a shot at him, because I say this about Dan Ball, who's one of my favorite people I've ever worked with. Like, he is in that modern world of analytics and geekdom and nerddom and all those things. Doesn't mean I don't like you.
Nobody pays a compliment quite like you.
I was going to say, really, there's nothing like being handed a bucket of popcorn with one hand and a right cross to the chops with the other.
Nice. Andy Hart style, Fitzy. Like,
the truth is never mean, and Alex Speer is a modern quantitative analyst for the Boston Red Sox and the Boston Globe. Headline, quote, "I need to own things that I could have done better." End quote. 20 months into his tenure, Craig Breslow takes stock of the Red Sox front office culture, which I think is an interesting word on the end of that headline, Fitzy. Like, not just the front office and what we're doing, but the fabric, the culture. We've heard that word with Mike Vrabel. We heard it with Gerard Mayo. We heard it with, like, that's a new thing. It's not just the jobs we have and the jobs we are doing, because usually when we talk about a front office, we're talking about, nuts and bolts, right, Fitzy? Like, who did you acquire? What kind of team did you build? And what did that talent do on the field? But this is about the culture. This is, you know, obviously the references to that Zoom call where somebody had the audacity to say, Breslow, you stiff, and was fired. Probably should save that comment until the Zoom signed off, or at least Breslow signed off.
Yeah, when your tchotchkes or flingers having drinks, that's when you say that about your boss.
Yes, yes. This has to do with the fact that a lot of people believe Breslow is sort of insulated, and even if they have 280 some odd people in the baseball operations department, there's really like five guys that he talks to when he's having meetings that people aren't necessarily comfortable coming into his office. And he acknowledges that in here. He says, I can't just sit in my office, and I'm paraphrasing, I can't just sit in my office and be like, hey, I wonder why no one comes in and talks to me. He needs to realize there's probably a reason they're not talking to you. Somehow you need to offer a bridge, an olive branch. But this also gets into, Fitzy, this story, that audit that was done that I believe the company is Sportsology that they hired to audit, which I hate. I'll just be honest. I hate that whole outside, like, I hired you, Craig Breslow. You audit the damn operation. That's why I'm paying you a lot of money.
Hiring the Bobs to come in and audit the department, the Dobe Department of Baseball Efficiency? Get out of here with that.
No, you know what this reminds me of? And it's a poor reference at this time in the calendar. But an elf, when they need a new book, and the two lead writers are like, hey, why don't we hire that guy? He writes really good kids' books. And they're like, genius. It's like, no. You're the writers for a book company. If you can't write books, I need to get good new writers for the book company. But Craig Breslow hired this whole Sportsology audit, and they got rid of about 10% of the front office. It doesn't sound like...
About 50 people, I think,
yeah,
total.
It doesn't sound like it...
Hold on. That's a... Like, first of all, what kind of Fenway fat are they carrying over there at the sports group? The fact that... That's a lot of freaking people.
They were bloated. They were definitely bloated. And I think some of that...
Shouldn't your scouting department be bigger than that, Andy? Sorry to interrupt, but like, shouldn't... You have people on the road looking for the next talent, not a bunch of quants, as you like to call them, sitting there going, all right, here,
road.
Here's
are you telling me you need to see a baseball player to know whether he's good? I just look at a computer screen and a bunch of numbers, and they tell me whether he's good or not. I don't
make
actually
baseball profitable again.
But they were bloated. There was even a reference. I didn't know this, that some of the place was so bloated they couldn't all fit in the same building. There was like a bullpen, they called it, like an offshoot office where some of the overflow workers were. So there was obviously a disconnect there if you're not all in the same office.
So they put the baseball guys in one office and the nerds in the other?
Probably.
What could go? Where did Craig Breslow sit then?
He's in the nerds office.
Oh,
in his hot office. Am I supposed to believe this? That the general manager of the Boston Red Sox can't turn the heat down in his office. He doesn't have AC. Am I really supposed to believe that? It makes for a nice tale to lead a story in the Boston Globe, a nice feature story. Are you telling me Craig Breslow does not have air conditioning?
I mean, it's believable. His server could overheat very easily in that
That's
room.
A very good point. The server farm does use up a lot of electricity, Dan, and it does get pretty damn hot in there. I want to go back to what you said earlier about his inapproachability and why people don't like or can't access him, Andy, and relate to him one-on-one on a human level. I don't think anybody's looking for, you know, Sterling Cooper, Draper, Price, where you can just waltz into your boss's office and bury a 130, you know, 4-ounce glass of scotch and make a couple of crude remarks about the secretary pool and how things are going in New York City and you know, on Madison Avenue. We're not looking for that level of conviviality and conversation. But he needs to sort of like he needs to like point the finger backwards or look in the mirror. He needs to be introspective about this and ask himself, or maybe hire a department of personality analysis and have someone come in and say, Craig, this is something about you that makes you inaccessible to people. There's a reason why people have a hard time communicating with you because, well, you just don't seem real. Like everything seems quantitative with you. We need a human touch, and that's carrying over to your baseball team as well, which is managed by numbers. And now you got a manager on the field who manages by feel. So when the numbers go awry, he finds himself getting tossed from games half the time.
So Craig Breslow, clearly, I would say we're painting a picture that his personality isn't outgoing. I don't like people. I don't like to interact with people. I don't like to meet new people. That's fine.
You're not for everyone. Did you see your shirt yesterday?
I am not for everyone, but I also think you need to know the role you're in and figure out how to make it work. I would also say he just needs to win because Bill Belichick wasn't a people person. People didn't want to necessarily hang out with Bill Belichick. They didn't want to like stop by his office to sit down and be like, hey coach, how many times do you think assistants did that? Walked into Bill's office, just sat down to chat with Bill Belichick.
I imagine if it did happen, it didn't last very long.
I'm going to say never.
Okay.
I'm going to say, and maybe once, because the first person did it and all the other assistants saw how it went and said, that's a mistake I won't be making, just showing up unasked at Bill Belichick's office.
And so, Andy, the Patriots were famously filled with people that were probably inapproachable. I mean, I've had some very pleasant conversations with Ernie Adams, but I wouldn't necessarily say he's the first person that I would, you know, do a podcast with or have lead a symposium.
And you know who people love? Bill Belichick and Ernie Adams. You know why? They won.
They won.
Success. And that is the lesson I would put here first and foremost to Craig Breslow, who didn't care for he calls himself a systems builder. What the holy F does that mean? And don't say it. You might think it. You may believe it. And it may be a good thing in your mind. Don't say it. You work in professional sports.
If you weren't moving
don't.
Around already so much in the studio, I'd tell you to take a lap just for saying that. Holy criminy.
Systems builder. Get the hell out of here with that crap.
It's supposed to be a nation builder, not a system builder.
The lesson. Oh, how about a bridge builder? How about you bridge, build bridges and connect people. Right. Knock down silos. Even that sounded better. Even have a North Star if you freaking want. But don't tell me you're a systems builder. Because you know what system you need to build? A team of human beings. This is not a system. This is a team of human beings. And that's the disconnect that I think he has to struggle with most, the alignment. I think Alex Cora is a people person, and I think Craig Breslow is a systems builder. And I think those two butt heads sometimes. But my biggest issue, Fitzy, with this story, there was a quote from Craig Breslow that I thought was really interesting on multiple levels. You know how we sometimes play audio and stop and start? I'm going to do that with a red quote right here because I want to like analyze it word for word, Fitzy. So, Craig Breslow says, I have this job because ownership decided that some change was necessary. There's some truth to that, Fitzy. You also have this job because no one else wanted it. Because like 752 people said no. Men, women,
12,
children.
But yeah.
Whatever, okay. Close enough. Yeah. You get it. Yeah. It's exaggeration. It's radio. It's Friday. I got a lot of energy for some reason. Then the second part of it. And I think that the change goes beyond just me. If we're going to continue to do things the way we had always done them, then I think we're just signing up to be a roughly 500 team. That's not good enough. Wait a minute. Always done them.
Pause.
Always done them for how long?
You're actually a sub 500 team right now.
Well, you're a sub 500 team right now, but how long are we looking back? Because I look back at the totality of it, which was a lot of these people you canned because Sportsology told you to can them had been here for, as LeBron might put it, not one, not two, not three, but four World Series championships in the last 20 plus years.
How long's your manager been here?
Trick question?
I don't Seven.
Know. Eight?
For a while.
Okay.
For right. longer than Craig Breslow.
He took a mercy year off, and that's when Uncle Ron came in.
Yeah, that didn't go well for him. But so he is looking at the big picture as the negatives of the last 4 or 5 years. He's not looking at those people that were in that building, those 300 some odd people who had built something that had never been seen by living human beings in the city of Boston. World Series teams, elite teams, rosters that, unlike this one, were littered top to bottom with talent. Fitzy, you know I love to say it. Little League Billy Miller won a batting title as the nine hitter. The nine hitter won a batting title for the Boston Red Sox? They'd be lucky now if the two hitter is a major leaguer on any given night. And they had a nine hitter win. This idea that
I'd take Mark Bellhorn's ghost over David Hamilton 9 days out of the week.
So that quote really rankled me because he makes it sound like he took over some team that had gone 25 years without a playoff appearance,
the White Sox or this year's Rockies.
Yes, you took over a team that's been in down times over the last few years, but is still, in sort of comparisons purposes, a pretty recent champion. And also, I would just say, didn't they go to the ALCS 3 seasons ago? 3-plus seasons ago, whatever it would be?
3.5 years ago, yeah. And they were one bad strike call against Nate Eovaldi away from actually maybe almost even sneaking out of that series.
So yeah. he, I think, exaggerates the problem. And you know why I think he does that? Because that's old school. That was all old school. That's not his way. That's not his system that he wants to build. So he looks at this new one and like, I need to make it look bad so I can tear it down to the studs. This house was pretty structurally sound and actually looked pretty good before you started tearing it down.
That said, I also think that's...
Uh-oh, McQuant needs to stick up
boy. No, I think that's a commentary. I think that's a financial commentary more than anything else. That's we're spending too much money. We have too many people. We're not efficient or streamlined enough. And that's what they're bringing me in to do. They're bringing me in to cut money and cut payroll things in a more cost-effective way while still bringing in wins.
When they were inefficient under Dombrowski, right?
Yes.
Because they inefficiently had to spend money on World Series rings and parades. That was a kick in the stones, Fitzy. When they had to spend that money over budget to give out rings and have parades with duck boats, that was a real pain in the ass.
Oh, man. All that extra money that they had to pay out when they got into baseball's second apron. Oh, wait, it doesn't exist.
Well, then what happens when you don't win is kind of my post-2021 point.
You spend money and win. It's baseball. And that's how he actually turned it around. That's the thing that bothers
Mac
me
Jones
a little bit.
And you go to the playoffs and you get your balls handed to you.
So in consecutive days, he's told us he's a systems builder and his system sucks because his system, literally and figuratively, the minor league system is producing baseball players who don't know how to play defense and who don't know how to run the bases. And you know what his solution this offseason was? $15 million a year to Aroldis Chapman, a gazillion dollars to Garrett Crochet, a gazillion dollars on an average annual basis to Bregman.
Alex Bregman.
Did we need Craig Breslow, the systems builder, to do that? Or could any of us have done that? Hey, John Henry, is it okay if I give Bregman 3 years, $120 million? Oh, it is?
Oh.
Cool.
Andy,
like,
can I also point out real quick, when we talk about, and really just to ride yes and on, what you were just saying. So there's these two baseball players that joined the team this year. We were all super excited to see it. Well, three really, but two most especially. That third one you wanted traded away, and that went over well with Sox fans earlier this week on the show. These two other players, Roman Anthony and Marcelo Mayer, I think their nicknames are. Definitely nailed the pronunciations. You know what Craig Breslow had to do with both of those guys? Nothing. That's right. The previous general manager / chief baseball nerd drafted those guys. Roman Anthony and Marcelo Mayer are Heim Bloom draft picks. So yep. I'm really waiting for the Breslow, what would you say you do around here moment?
Craig Breslow, Boston Globe is looking at him, looking at himself in the mirror, talking about his systems and his turnover and all that. He's talking about a bad minor league system. A lot of people around here are criticizing Alex Cora, blaming him for the success of the Boston Red Sox. What do you think about Craig Breslow and the job he's done in a little under 2 years running the Boston Red Sox? I'm not a big fan because I think he proclaims to be one thing, and the success he has found has actually been in the old school world of just spend money on good players and it helps your baseball team. 617-779-7937 will take your reactions to Craig Breslow and the job he is doing. But up next, we also need to talk about the Rafi Devers trade.
He hit a home run. Oh, my God, that's awesome.
And the Giants are no longer a playoff team. He ruined two teams with one trade. He ruined the Red Sox and the Giants with his arrival. But Jarren Duran has been next in the talking of trade rumors and also was asked about the Rafi Devers trade. He joined the Section 10 podcast. We'll talk about that and Kyle Harrison's debut for the Woo Sox, although it was not all woo-worthy. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Hit high and deep to center field. Myers back! Out of here! Number 17 for Rafi Devers. Number 2 in a Giants uniform. That's what they needed.
That was the call of Rafi Devers' meaningless home run for the Giants, who lost again yesterday with their new big bopper in the lineup. 3-6
since
the trade.
Oh, you don't say! I thought they were winning every game, Andy.
No, they weren't, and they were a playoff team when he arrived, and to the caller who didn't have the stones to come on the air but wanted to call me out, I mean, maybe ESPN is wrong, but when I go to the ESPN standings, it says San Francisco Giants are a half game out of the wild card. So that, the way I read it, unless I'm misreading this, says they're out of the playoffs. He joined a team that was in the playoffs, is now out of the playoffs. So Rafi Devers has made two teams worse. He left the Red Sox, and they've lost five in a row. Dan Ball, You're standing up, and you're looking at your computer screen. Do you want to counter something?
No.
Okay. So he made the Red Sox worse by leaving.
Well said. Is this guy on a heater or what today?
You could have at least said no.
Are you on coke right now?
I don't know. I said I'm not on anything. I'm on the high of life at
it's
Fenway
Park. It's
just
good Park. To know I physically cannot move without drawing your attention.
Well, you did draw my attention.
Ah, yeah! What if a bear did cocaine?
Like that movie when the bear did the cocaine, right? I've never seen it.
Literally called Cocaine Bear.
We didn't have the score to that film yesterday. I'm not sure if there was a famous soundtrack or not to that.
That was going to be the bonus round.
Oh, I would have gotten that one. No chance. But yeah, Rafi Devers, the Red Sox have been losing since he left, basically, and the Giants have been losing since he arrived. Those are just facts. I'm not even tying it together. I don't think the Red Sox are losing because he left, honestly. I don't think Walker Buehler melts down in the first inning because Rafi Devers left. The base running with Jarren Duran. Like,
he's
no,
not
all these things.
Fenway feels.
All these errors and bad base running and bad pitching were happening with Rafi Devers on the roster. That can happen with or without him. But speaking of Rafi Devers on the roster, Jarren Duran, who I thought someone had told me was in like a feud with Carrabas, and Carrabas hated him, or like they were...
Feud is a bit strong, but they were actively discussing trade rumors that had been put out there, and that Will Fleming and Lou Maloney were a part of those discussions.
Okay, and well... it didn't stop Jarren Duran from going on the Section 10 podcast, where he was asked about the Rafi Devers trade and sort of the reaction to it within the clubhouse.
Like, people, I feel like people wanted us to dwell on it, but it's like, what is that going to do? It's not going to bring them back. Like, people were like, oh, maybe they didn't like Rafi or they didn't care or stuff like that. I'm like, no, but like, what's crying about it going to do? It's not going to bring him back. Like, he's gone. He's on the Giants now. He's doing his thing over there. So, like, we have to do our thing over here. So, when people are like, oh, like, honestly, like, to the fans, like, if you're mad about it, like, you guys can be mad about it because you don't have to go and perform on the field the next day. Like, we don't have that luxury.
That's correct. That's a very mature take right there, Andy.
It is, but you can be mad and perform, right? Those two don't have to be mutually exclusive.
Some would
right?
say like, some perform better when they're mad.
Right, like me. I get angry all the time. It's part of my charm. But you can be angry and go to bat. Has no major league player ever been angry and gone to bat and gone like, I don't know, 3-for-4 with a double and a home run or like
Pedro Serrano, blank you, Joe Boo. I do it myself.
Right. I think a lot of people actually can perform when angry, like when motivated. I mean, I think there's coaches that push those buttons. Certainly, you think of it maybe more in other sports than baseball, but
it's called hate sex. Fine.
Yes, roll the hips, as they say when you teach in linebacker play. Roll the hips, just like
great minds think alike. There you go.
But you know, Jaren Duran is a guy that he hasn't had a great season, and
no,
he's made
by no stretch, no, not even close.
But I also didn't even once think. Remember that time he slid past the bag and was out, and then got thrown out? Mm-hmm. That was because Devers got traded. Or remember that time where he froze like a little leaguer with a ball hit right at him, and then tried to go to third and got thrown out by a mile? Yeah, that was because Devers got traded. No, like, he hasn't performed well. He's regressed for the entirety of the season.
That's why Whitlock gave up four runs in that second inning of the appearance earlier this week.
Right, right. Your guy Whitlock, your guy mm-hmm. Bueller, they're just off the rails because Devers was traded. And then the other thing I bring into this, didn't Alex Cora tell us last week? Well, I told him not to talk about it. Like, so the biggest reason why it seems like they've moved on quickly is because the manager said he pulled a Belichick. We're not going to benefit from you guys going out there and sharing your feelings about Rafi Devers or what it meant to the team or means to the team. We got a job to do. Let's do the job. Shut your mouth and do your job. So, I mean, I think that's the biggest reason is they still respect their manager, and their manager basically asked them not to talk about it. Now, I don't know if Jaren Duran went against those wishes or if this was just, you know, a comfortable, simple answer and we move on here. But don't you think that was the biggest reason that Cora said don't talk about it?
Yeah, it is. It, like I said, it's the mature thing to do. It's a very Belichickian thing to do. It's just why stir up a hornet's nest when the main reason why you moved on from this very talented hitter is because he was creating a hornet's nest in your dugout and in your locker room.
Right. He was in sight and in mind and a bit of a problem. Now he's out of sight. Let's put him out of mind and move on, as the Joe Judge would say it. This is all we got. No one else is coming. So let's go play some baseball games, try to win. They did that successfully for a short stint, and then, well, it went south. So, but tonight, Fenway yep. Park, Blue Jays in town, Brian Baio on the mound. He's given you competitive starts the last four times out there. So the Red Sox looking to turn things around, and I can't say it enough, a beautiful day at Fenway Park. If you don't have tickets and you're in the area, grab some, get your ass in a seat at Fenway, because you're going to have a beautiful night to watch baseball. I make no promises about the game, but the night I can promise. Up next on WEEI Afternoons, it's time for Ted Johnson. It's time for the three-point stance. And it's time for me to make an observation about the NBA in my three-point stance, because I think they're missing opportunities left and right with what they're doing these days in the NBA. We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons.